Hey everybody, so the CERN website, home.cern, /about/updates, if you go there, they've actually just put a video, a live video, titled Inside CERN's Antimatter Factory. That's right, CERN has an antimatter factory. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with CERN, CERN is the governing body in Switzerland that makes the decisions on how the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider, will be used. What experiments happen, what kind of things that they look for. And the Large Hadron Collider is the big particle collider, the big circular thing in between France and Switzerland. And right on the border. Actually, me and Tom Horn wrote a book about it called Abaddon Ascending. That's available at joshpeckdisclosure.com if you're interested in that. But we talked about could CERN be the key that opens the bottomless pit? What if they open black holes? Stuff like that. But what we did uniquely in that book was we took both sides of the argument. We took the side that says, okay, if this happens, this is how it fits prophetically. You know, we did all that, but we also took the other side and said, well, here's how the science works. That's right. If you read the book, you'll understand how the LHC works. I put it in plain, simple language for anybody to understand. Here's how the science works. Here's the probability that anything like that would actually happen. And here's why we may or may not believe that it does. I don't want to give too much away, but you should check that out. So now for the first time, people who have joined CERN on Facebook, they got a live behind-the-scenes insights into CERN's anti-proton decelerator. That's what this antimatter factory is called. Now, antimatter, it's the opposite of matter, basically. It's matter with an opposite charge. So if you have a piece of antimatter and a piece of matter and you come together, then they annihilate. Now, unlike the rest of CERN's accelerator complex, which speeds up particles to study them at high energies, this one, the antiproton decelerator, actually slows particles down. The decelerator tames these particles and directs them to six different experiments. Alpha, Asakusa, Atrap, Base, Aegis, and G-Bar. Don't know what the acronyms to all those mean, and I don't want to go and look them up, but you can. Well, there's basically different detectors and things like that. And they do this in order to study antimatter and, in a sense, create atoms. Now, they're not actually creating it like ex nihilo, like out of thin air. What they're doing is they're vibrating a field. They're pumping energy into a certain quantum field, and then that brings the particle forth. A vibration in a quantum field is a particle. It doesn't create a particle, it is the particle. So the physicists will say create just because it's easier, but it's not exactly accurate. It's not a correct way to describe what's happening. Now, they say that the Big Bang should have created equal amounts of matter and antimatter in the early universe, but today, everything we see from the smallest life forms on Earth to the largest stellar objects are made up of entirely matter. So comparatively, there is not much antimatter to be found. Something must have happened to tip the balance. So one of the great challenges in physics is to figure out what happened to the antimatter or why there's an asymmetry between matter and antimatter. So last Thursday, the 26th, April 26th at 4 p.m., they had a video that kind of went around and toured the antimatter factory where scientists and machine experts were available to answer any questions that people might have had. So that's where you find out why CERN is now the only lab in the world producing antimatter, how it's actually created, and why those experiments can teach us about the universe. Now, of course, antimatter is extremely dangerous, but they have a way of housing it and stuff. But the thing is, they create such a small amount of it, and when antimatter comes in contact with matter, it annihilates. So I don't know. I mean, people could make the argument that it's really risky and we shouldn't be messing around with that. And I get that. But at the same time, we've learned a lot from it too. So I don't know. This is one of those things, kind of like yesterday's video with the moon that I'm, or the video before that with technology. The emerging technology of exascale computers, where I'm kind of split on the CERN stuff. Now, I think CERN itself is split. I think that there are Most people there just want to learn about the universe. But I do believe that there are some people involved, especially some of the higher ups, that really do see this as a means by which to communicate with extra-dimensional entities, what we might think of as spiritual entities, to communicate with realms outside of physical existence. Sergio Bertolucci, the science director at CERN, actually went on record to say that that's what they were trying to do, that they were trying to open up portals, and he said unknown unknowns might come out, you know, so great. But not so much. So in Abaddon Ascending, we speculated, well, what happens if communication were to be established? What if there is extra-dimensional entities out there, and what if they are exactly the angels and the demons that the Bible talks about? What would that mean for us if we're the ones making first contact? I think that could be seen as an invitation for them to come in. But I don't think the world would see it the way that Christians might see it. The world would look at us Christians and think that we're just following some ancient, dead, archaic religion or whatever, and that we're interpreting things wrong. But I don't think so. I think the world is interpreting things wrong today. So there are things to be worried about. Well, worry's not the right word. 'Cause if you're in Jesus, you have no need to worry. There are things to keep our eyes on for sure. And that we should be suspicious about. Maybe that's the right word to use. But at the same time, if somebody makes a claim, like, okay, here's an example. There was a video, and this went everywhere. This got viral. There was a video a while ago of somebody saying you can see demons' faces in the particle in the particle collisions or whatever. No, you can't. There's no, okay, you can look at a light socket and it looks like a face. You know, there's a word for that. It slips my mind right now. Leave me a comment in the comment section. Remind me. Pareidolite, I don't know. It's one of those words, but it's our brain recognizes patterns, so it's easy for us to see like faces in things, especially. So when you look at those particle collisions, I guess you could, but all it is blurry gray and black spots. Like you can't definitively prove that it's like demons coming through a particle collision. It doesn't make any sense. But that's the kind of sensational stuff that goes viral, and it gets people scared, and it gets people worried, and people think that CERN is basically this demon factory that's pumping demons into the world. And I just don't know how accurate that is. You know, there was another video, and this one was totally faked, but there was another video of a supposed like wormhole that opened up over CERN with like UFOs flying in and out of it. And people were saying, yeah, it's been corroborated by witnesses that were there. But no, it wasn't. It was a total lie. It was a total fake. There's so much fake stuff that goes out about CERN. And that was why me and Tom wanted to write Abaddon Ascending, is to cut through all the garbage and actually get you guys the real truth that can be backed up through sources. And I mean, we even interviewed physicists and everything. We put a lot of work into that. So with that book, you'll get the real truth of what's going on at CERN. I don't ever present anything, and neither does Tom. We don't present anything as fact without corroborating it, or we'll just admit that it's speculation. And sure, some of it is speculative. And so in the book, Tom wrote the first half, I wrote the second half. In the book, there's a lot of stuff that I speculate on about what if this happened? What if a black hole were created? And what are really the chances of that? What would that look like? What would that mean? You know, actually, the funny thing is, if you work out all the math, if CERN were to ever actually open a black hole, it would be subatomic. It would be so incredibly tiny. But even if it stabilized and started growing, it would take billions and billions, and it would take longer than the universe is expected to survive for it to have any kind of negative effect on the Earth. I mean, it would be so small, and it would take so long for it to grow human civilization would be long dead by the time the Earth would be long dead by the time it could hurt the Earth, if that makes sense. Now that's of course setting aside all the prophetic stuff. But what I laid out in the book is, you know, we know what's going to happen prophetically. We might not understand perfectly all the interpretations about it, but we know that it's going to happen. So we don't need to worry. Times might get rough, but you know, we have Jesus, so it's okay. So I want to know what you think about antimatter, about CERN. What are your CERN theories? What do you think is going on? And I'd love to hear about that. If you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure you go to joshpeckdisclosure.com, and you get free videos and podcasts updated daily on that website. And if you could, click the donate button. That's what keeps this stuff free. That's what helps build this community that we're building together, is the donate page. Or for as little as a dollar a month, you can go to patreon.com/joshpeck. And you can get all the stuff there, plus contest, free books, a whole bunch of stuff. So make sure you check all that out. Thank you so much. And until next time, take care and God bless.
Hey, everybody. I have decided to start a Patreon site, and I'm very excited about it because this offers you at least one more avenue that can get us away from the YouTube and AdSense and all that ridiculousness that struggles so hard to shut down Christian conservative speakers such as myself. So if you want to help out, please consider becoming one of my patrons. That would be great. Now, it's only because of all of you guys that I've been able to continue doing this all these years. But those of you who are brand new, I cover things from a Christian conservative perspective, as I said before, but we also deal with some fringe topics, such as aliens, UFOs, ghosts, paranormal things. We deal with some things from the political realm, such as Second Amendment and First Amendment rights, things like that. But most importantly, we deal with the gospel of Jesus Christ, how best to present this information to friends who might not be believers. How do we talk to one another about these things? Well, we deal with all that, and I always take questions, I always take feedback, I always take advice, especially from my supporters. So if you haven't had a chance, go to my Patreon site, which is patreon.com/Josh Peck, very easy to remember, and consider becoming a patron for as little as a dollar a month. That is nothing. And it would greatly help me out. It'll help you out. And as I always say, when we come together as a community, we can build something amazing together. So let's do that. Thank you so much. And until next time, take care and God bless.